Jerry Hope is president of the Alaska Native Brotherhood's first camp, or chapter, which is in Sitka. He grew up in a family deeply involved in the brotherhood and sisterhood. One of his early memories is walking into his grandparents' house when he was 5 or 6. Andrew and Tilly Hope and others were discussing business.
They're just boiling up some fish heads. They had some potatoes they're boiling up. You could smell the sweet smell of seal oil, and you could tell that they were talking about some stuff that had some weight to it.
My earliest memories of the Alaska Native Sisterhood is playing around in the AV hall while my mom was holding a meeting.
That's Mary Brown of Klawak, president of the Sisterhood's regional organization called the Grand Camp. Her mother was Ruby Watson Smith, another leader.
I remember her going off to conventions. I remember sitting there as I grew older, listening to the sisters talking about what needed to be done, getting ready for the convention, and knew that I wanted to be a part of it.
The Brotherhood formed in 1912, the Sisterhood a while later. About 150 members are back in Sitka this week for the annual Grand Camp Convention. The keynote address is by Dr. Stephen Langdon, a University of Alaska professor of anthropology. He's a recognized expert in the history, livelihoods, and culture of Southeast's Tlingit and Haida people. Delegates will also hear reports from Native health, business, and tribal organizations. They'll elect new officers and debate resolutions setting directions for the year. Some will speak about the Brotherhood and Sisterhood's early years and the reason they formed.
We didn't have voting rights. We didn't have land rights. We couldn't own land. We didn't have civil rights. And we had a very hard time getting work outside of fishing.
Klawak's Dennis Demard is the ANB's Grand Camp president.
And those were some of the problems that the ANB, our predecessors, addressed. And they won those rights for us.
ANB leaders lobbied legislators and other officials in Juneau and Washington, D.C. They fought to include Alaska Natives in a nationwide Indian Rights Act, pass the state's anti-discrimination law, and seek a land claim settlement.
ANB and ANS were the parents of the corporations as well. A lot of the Native organizations in Alaska owe their existence to the work of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood.
Local camps also played a social role, raising funds for families in need, hosting dinners and educational programs, and building halls that became community centers. Brown says members still play a big part in many funerals.
The ANS steps forward every time and prepares food for the night watch, and usually that's 2 or 3 nights, and then we prepare a dinner for after the memorial service, and a dinner after the funeral service.
The Brotherhood and Sisterhood are not what they used to be. With so many competing organizations, membership has dropped from the thousands to the hundreds, and the number of active camps has dwindled.
There's still a need for the organization.
Demert says ANB and ANS leaders want to find new ways of working for positive change. That includes involving younger people who do not remember the battles of the past.
Anymore or voting rights. We've already got those. But what can we do to better the lives of Native people?
He adds that the organizations include and fight for non-Native members. Camp 1 President Hope says that's among the reasons the anniversary should be of interest to more than Southeast-based Tlingit and Haida people.
I have to reflect on the strength of those kinds of real strong leadership that not only changed and worked to improve the lives of Alaska Natives, but I would argue that it improved the lives of everyone. Because if you have a minority and their level of quality of life is improved, everybody's life is improved.
The 100th anniversary celebration and Grand Camp Convention also include cultural presentations, camp fundraisers, and a memorial service. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Sitka.